Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thankful we're not covered up by snow. Amen. And I thank you for the goodness of God. Amen. Take your Bibles to the book of John this morning, the book of John. And I appreciate being here these days. The book of John, chapter number one. Thank you, Pastor Ledbetter, for letting us come. I would ask you to pray for my wife. She just sent me a text right before I got up. And she says she's in a lot of pain this morning and some things going on there. So I covet your prayers for my wife. Ask God to touch and help her and heal her. And she says she's sorry she wasn't able to come up. But Lord willing, we'll be traveling through and we may be able to drop in before we leave for Denmark and you can meet the whole family. All right. They are the better half of me and Braden. And so if y'all can endure us, you'll love the other part. Amen. The book of John this morning, chapter number one. And let's, I'll start reading in verse number 28 this morning. The book of John, chapter number 1, verse number 28. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come to baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Two times in your Bible, you're going to find the phrase, Behold the Lamb of God. And they're all contained right here in John chapter number one. This morning, I want to preach on the thought that John gave us in verse number 29 and verse 36 on Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. You say, Brother Nathan, why would you want us to behold the Lamb of God? Can I just say this? The world in which we live today is very good to get us distracted on the main thing. When I was in the military, they'd always say something like this, keep your eye on the main thing, keep the main thing the main thing. And can I say, as we've traveled across America and across in church after church after church, Pastor Ledbetter, what I'm finding is not the church as a whole, but it begins with just a few people of getting their eyes off of the Lamb of God. And pretty soon a church that was alive and thriving is now a church that's dead and on its way to Laodicea. God help us today to keep our eyes on the Lamb of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this place and, Lord, the history that it has. Lord, we're thankful for the man of God that pastors this place. But God, I pray today that you'd help us as the people of God to get our eyes back on the Lamb of God. Lord, help us, Lord, to get a burden in our heart, not just for here locally, but around the world. But God, it starts in the heart. Help us today to see you high and lifted up for us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. As I began to think about beholding the Lamb of God and how easy it is to get our eyes on different things and on the things of this world, I just wrote down a few things that today Christians have their eyes on. I thought, number one, they got their eyes on their popularity. I've never seen a day as it is today where if I don't get a thumbs up on my social media account, then I can't go to church or I can't thrive or I can't go to work. Hey, I don't need man's approval. I need God's approval, amen? Number two, on their problems. Listen, I say it a lot of times. Many times we don't complain as Christians, but we complain the most. We don't want to tell everybody how bad we got it, but we're real good to tell people how bad we got it. But can I say today, my problems doesn't dictate to me how I serve God. My problems today don't dictate how far I go for God. But rather, if I get my eyes on Him, then I realize that He came, He bled, He died, He suffered. He gave Himself to die for me. I began to think about they get their eyes on their prophets. I pastored for 10 years. And Brother Ledbetter, I'd have people come to me and say, Preacher, you know we would be at church on revival, but you know, I took an extra shift. I've got to make an extra dollar. Can I just say this today? I'm glad I've got a God who's taking care of all my needs according to His riches and glory. I say it this way, I didn't get this fat, Brother Ledbetter, by starving to death. Amen. God's taking good care of me. And then I thought about this on their possibilities. A lot of young people today say this, I've got a bright future ahead of me. I've got a career ahead of me. I'm looking for what I can do in the future to make it. But can I say this? I've told my children, Brother Ledbetter, I said, look, I don't care if you make it as a lawyer, a doctor, or a teacher, or you're just serving in the parks cutting grass. My desire for my children is to serve God. Fall in love with Him. Get a hold of Him and let Him dictate dictate to them in their life what they ought to be. But can I say to you and I, the tendency for us is to get our eyes off on the things around us instead of the one who gave himself for us. I began to think about today, what is backsliding? Where does it begin? Where does it start? How is it that somebody, preacher, can go being on fire for God, sitting on the pew, shouting, praising God and worshiping him, and then the next year they're in a different church. They've laid down on the King James. They've laid down on every standard they once had. What has happened to them? Can I tell you, they've gotten their eyes off of the Lamb of God. Can I say to you how the heart cometh every issue and everything for the heart or for the life of man? And can I say to you, the heart is where it all begins. See, the thing is this morning, we want to say this. Well, if you look at them here, they're backslidden, they're gone away. But where did it start? It started on the inward man. And can I say to you and I today, God, help us to look and behold the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist is sitting here and he's crying out, behold the Lamb of God. He's taken the Jewish nation back century after century after century. I think it's over 25 times in the Old Testament the Word of God says that they would bring a lamb, that they would bring a lamb into the temple there in the tabernacle and sacrifice it upon the altar. Every time that there was a lamb to be brought, John has just told them that there is the lamb. And can I say to you and I this morning, I'm glad there was the lamb and not a lamb to die for my sins. I began to think about as John puts their mind into remembrance, I believe they began to think about Genesis 22 and 13 where the Lord provided himself a lamb in the Garden of Eden. You say, how do you know that there was a lamb there? Well, the Bible says he clothed him in coats of skin. Where did the coats of skin come from? I believe that was the start of the whole sacrificing in the Old Testament where God said there has to be a sacrifice for sin. And can I say to you and I this morning, they probably thought, Brother Ledbetter, there is the lamb, but what about all the other lambs? Why weren't they good enough? Hey, can I say to you and I this morning, you look through your life, there was no good in you, there was no profit in you, there was nothing you could do to bring God into a fellowship with you, but God hath provided the lamb. Amen. Then he goes on in their mind, they're probably thinking, well, there was the garden that we've heard about, but then there was also the mountain of provision. They probably thought, man, our father Abraham, as he took his son Isaac up on the mountain, there was a place where Isaac said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Hey, I'm glad this morning God didn't provide me a prayer closet or a prayer cloth. He didn't provide me a rosary bead, but I'm glad he provided me a lamb. Amen. I'm glad this morning I ain't got to go to the preacher to get remission of my sin. I'm glad I ain't got to go to go pray to Mary this morning. I'm glad that God gave us a lamb. Amen. Not only a mountain of provision, a garden of promise, but I thought about in Egypt as they go through the Passover. And when we were in Israel, one of the biggest things they were talking about, the tour guide was Jewish, and he said, we look forward to and we always worship the Passover. Can I say to you, God, help us never to get over the Passover. I'm glad that God, when he looks down on me, he's not going to condemn me of the sins that were done, but I'm glad that the blood has been applied to my door. Hey, I can lay my head down this morning and know that if I go to meet him in my sleep, I'm glad that I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. I'm glad that the death angel will pass over, the spiritually speaking, and not send me to eternal hell, but I'm glad that there's been a Passover in my life. And can I say, we many times, preacher, we get so sidetracked and we lose the joy of our salvation. Hey, I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation. If a man that said he was the man after God's own heart could say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, I dare say me and you this morning need to get back to the joy of our salvation. And thought about not only that, but their minds go back to the tabernacle. And every year they would have to bring that lamb in to sacrifice for the atonement of sin. What did that do? Well, it pacified God's judgment on an entire nation for 1 year. But aren't you glad this morning that God provided the lamb, that it just isn't satisfied for 1 year, for one moment. But I'm glad this morning that when I got saved by the grace of God, the lamb's blood that was provided on Calvary's hill just doesn't satisfy for one moment or 1 year. But I'm glad to know this morning that when I got saved, I got put in the hand of God and I'm eternally saved. I'm glad I can't lose my salvation. I'm glad it ain't based about what I do. I'm glad it's based all upon what he's done this morning. Thank God. God, that I've got a salvation that has pacified for eternity. Amen. The Jewish mind can't comprehend what is going on when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Back in our text, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God." The first two words of the statement will give us some ideology of what's going on. If you look at the definition here of the word "behold," it means this: to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, and to observe with care. I don't know about you, but the night that I got saved, my eyes got fixed on Him. The Holy Ghost came down, convicted my heart that I was on my way to hell. But can I say, it didn't get fixed on who I was. I was rotten home the sinner. I was a heathen. I didn't deserve Him. But my eyes got fixed on the Lamb of God that evening. And I said, thank God that God provided the Lamb. John said, all that you're looking at this morning, all your religious sect that you're looking to for hope, isn't going to get you there. But he said, fix your eyes on Him. Hey, can I say the message of America shouldn't be fix our eyes on Trump, and it shouldn't be fixed our eyes on the church. Our eyes should be fixed on the Lamb of God this morning. And can I say to you, I'm glad to know that if we get our eyes on Him, it will put something inside of you. It will stir your soul, and it will get you to do something for Him. He said, behold, to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention. I remember Brother Dwayne's already said it, that he played a part in me and my wife getting together. I say he had a lot to do with it. If he hadn't brought her to Wyoming, I would have never met her, amen. And can I say to you, though, that Tuesday morning when Brother Dwayne got up and was talking to all those Indians there and all the young teenage boys, he said, boys, you're going to shower when you come to church. You're going to make sure your hair's combed and you're going to look decent. And then he looked at the ladies and said, that means y'all too, y'all brush your hair. And about that time, Miss Stephanie turned around, and I caught her eye, and she caught my eye. And Brother Ledbetter, I said, he's talking to you. She looked at me and said, huh? She looked at Miss Tina Nix and said, is he talking to me? She said, he ain't talking to me. You know what happened, though? That moment that I saw her, Brother Ledbetter, there was no other woman in the world. There was nobody else that caught my attention. I fixed my eyes on her. And my whole attention that week, and for the past 17 years, has been focused on her. She is my bride. But can I say to you, when I got my eyes on Him, when I got saved by the marvelous grace of God, the Bible says that we've been put into the body of Christ and we are the bride of Christ. You say, what does that mean? Hey, when we got engaged, me and my wife, the only thing I thought about was her. The only thing I talked to was her. I mean, we ran through, Brother Dwayne, how many phones did we run through that week? I mean, she would run through a phone, get Miss Melissa's phone, run through that phone, go to another. The only person we wanted to talk to was each other. But when was the last time your eyes were fixed on Jesus Christ? That the only thing you could think about was Him. The only thing you loved was Him. The only thing you wanted to talk to was Him. Hey, can I say to you, if you get your eyes on the Lamb of God this morning, your desires will change, your love will change. And Brother Ledbetter, our heart's desire was to commune with the Lamb of God. John said, behold, to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, but to observe with care. Here's the thing, when me and my wife were talking, and even after our marriage, the care for one another was, what does she like? What does she want? What is her heart's desire? And a good marriage is where her heart is, well, what is his desire? What is he like? Can I say it's the same way for the child of God? But can I tell you where marriages go awry, Brother Ledbetter, is when we get consumed upon our own self, consumed upon who we are. And there's a division that is put in within the home. Let me tell you where the same thing happens for the child of God and the bridegroom that is our Christ. Once we got saved, it was all about Him. Brother Ledbetter, when I got saved, I could charge hell with a water pistol, both hands high behind my back. Man, there was nothing that was going to stop me. But the further I got removed from that date, the more common I got with the things of God. And in a marriage, the same thing happens. We get so commonplace with one another that we begin to consume upon our own self. Can I say today, our desire should be this, Lord, put me back in that day where my heart is to be all about you. Lord, what do you want? What do you desire? What is your care? What should you want from me? And when we do that, that sweet fellowship is back in place. And now we've got our eyes on Him. The communion is put back together. And now we see the Lamb of God for who He is in our life. Behold the Lamb of God. But then I thought about this. If you look at the next word where he says, behold, then he goes on to say this, thee. See the word a, when he says, behold, a lamb. That's just another lamb. That's just another commonplace lamb that was in the fold. But when he says, behold the lamb, this is what the word the, serving to provide a final solution. Hey, I'm glad this evening I didn't get just a wife, but I got the wife that God had for me. But can I say this? I'm glad I just didn't get a salvation. I'm glad I just didn't get a lamb that day, February the 13th, year 2001. But I'm glad that I got the lamb. Hey, it ain't another way of salvation. I had a man sit in my office one day and he said, Brother Nathan, everybody's going to heaven. They're all going to the same God. I said, no. I'm glad that God said that no man cometh to the Father but by me. Can I say to you, you ain't going to get to heaven your way. You're not going to get to heaven some other way, but you've got to come by the Lamb. Amen. You say, why? Because he was a darling Lamb of God. He was a pure Lamb. He was a precious Lamb. He was a procured Lamb. He was a promised Lamb. He was the persecuted Lamb. He was the Lamb for humanity. You say, Brother Nathan, why are you going to Denmark? Because they haven't heard about the Lamb. Why do we do what we do this morning? Listen, we don't get suited up and dressed up just to come to church because it's a social event. We don't come to church to see who's got the newest thing and the newest car. The reason why we come to church is to get on fire for God, to go to a world to tell them about the Lamb of God this morning. John said, behold, the Lamb. With a single statement, John flew all the knowledge of the religious order out the window. Today, they're still looking for the Messiah. But can I say the Messiah is the Lamb, and the Lamb is the Messiah. John the Baptist's preaching was all about Christ. He said this in verse 15, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of Christians are led better. They don't look at it that way. We are preferred more than him. But we need to get it back where we should prefer him over us. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace came by Jesus Christ. But when he gets to verse 29, he says this, behold the Lamb of God. The statement of John is not past tense or future tense. It's simply this, present tense. I began to think about John's statement when he says these words. The word taketh sets the tense of the statement. They say it's this. I'm not an English major. Listen, I'm from Western North Carolina. I failed English. I don't even know how to speak it. But I had to look this up. It means the third person singular simple present indicative form of take. Anybody know what that means? Good, so I'll give it to you. Number one, it says it's third person. Well, what does third person mean in the English language? It means this, referring to one that is neither the speaker or the writer of the utterance. Can I remind you this evening that Brother Ledbetter, John the Baptist didn't write the book of John. John the Beloved did. John the Baptist is the one who uttered it. So when John says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh, John the Beloved said, it isn't me that's going to save you. And it wasn't the one who spoke the utterance, but it's the one it is speaking of. Hey, can I say today, the preaching of the gospel shouldn't be about me, and it shouldn't be about you, but it's all about him this morning. Hey, we should see him, Brother Ledbetter. It ain't about a list of do's and don'ts, but it's about him. It ain't about how good we are, it's about him. Hey, everything we are is all about him. John said, it ain't about the one who wrote it. It ain't about the speaker. Hey, it's all about him. Can I be real honest? I'm thankful for the men of God that God's placed in my life, preacher. I'm thankful for Brother Dwayne. And I'm thankful for Brother Mark Stroud. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for all these great men that God has put in my life. But can I say the reason why I am what I am today isn't based off of my pastor and these great men. The way I preach and what I do, Brother Ledbetter, ain't based off of them. Why? Because it ain't about us. It's all about him this morning. And can I say to you, if your religion's built on a man, it's going to crumble. But if it's built on the Lamb this morning, it'll stand the test of time. I began to think it's not only the third person, but then he goes on to say it's singular. Man, I've hit it again, Brother Ledbetter. It ain't about any other way. It ain't about how good you are. It ain't about how many professions you've made. Right. Brother, I made three professions before I got the real thing. I mean, I had a suit on, King James Bible set on the front pew right there. Every time I knew to say amen, guess what I say? Hey, man. And when I felt like I needed to take a running fit, guess what I did? I took a running fit, but it was all in the flesh. But when I beheld the Lamb of God, All that religion that I had in my heart, all that pompous circumstance that I had went out the window. I called my pastor that night and I said, "Preacher, guess what?" He said, "What, Brother Nate?" I said, "I got saved this evening." He said, "You what?" I said, "I got saved by the grace of God." He said, "I sure am glad you got the real thing tonight." He said, "I would have buried you and preached you into heaven if you would have died." But I said, "Preacher, you ain't got to worry about that anymore. I met the Lamb of God." Hey, it ain't about what you're holding on to if you're not holding on to the Lamb of God. It's singular this evening, this morning. Not only that, third person singular, simple. Aren't you glad salvation's simple? I mean, listen to me. Listen, I'm glad it ain't a whole rules of do's and don'ts. Preacher, gets me saved. I'm glad it ain't how far I pedal a bicycle, how many doors I knock on, how much scripture I memorized. But I came with childlike faith down to an old-fashioned altar and said, "Lord, save me." Hey, it didn't take a whole rocket science. It didn't take a whole lot of knowledge. All I had to do was have a childlike faith and say, "Lord, save me." And you know what he did? He saved me, amen. But then it's present tense. Aren't you glad the Lamb of God wasn't just good for your granny? Preacher, I'm glad it just wasn't good for Brother Will and Brother Edgar Thomas. But I'm glad you say, "Why do you say that?" Because if I didn't think it was present tense this morning, I'd shut my Bible, I'd go back to the house, get my state job back, have everything I once had in the secular world. But because it's a present tense, there's a God that says, "I sent my son to die for the whole world." Why do we go to Denmark? Because it's a present help. It's a present place where people can get saved by the grace of God. Why do we travel all the miles that we travel and do what we do? It's because there's a present salvation for the hope of today. Hey, I'm glad it wasn't just good for yesterday, but I'm glad it's good for today. Amen. Hey, I'm glad it's going to be good tomorrow. I'm glad it's going to be good for my grandbabies and my great grandbabies. Hey, I'm glad that it's a present salvation in the time of need. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Can I say to you today, what the world needs today is not to see any more politicians, not to see any more puppet preachers or popular people in Hollywood, Pharisaical people in the church pews, are persecuting people with a condescending look. But can I say to you today, what the world needs is to see some Christians who've got the joy of their salvation back, beholding the Lamb of God, saying there's a hope for tomorrow. There's a one who wants to save you. There's somebody who wants to save Newport, Tennessee. Amen. I mean, listen, I went to Walmart last night, preacher, and we began to walk around and look, and I said, I'm glad there's still a church in Newport to where people in Newport can know that there's a God who wants to save them, that sent his son to die for them. Hey, church, it's time we behold the Lamb of God and take it to the world that's without us. Behold the Lamb of God. God, help us to view him as the way that John described him, the Lamb of God. Can I tell you today that the Lamb of God, Satan tried to corrupt him. The religious elite tried to kill him. The grave tried to hold him. The governments have tried to control him. The world have tried to remove him. However, to the church, he is the power. He is the precious Lamb of God. And there's no power, there's no thing under the sun that's going to control him. His message will go on. Hey, can I say to you, I'm glad as I look across the board that it doesn't look like the sun sets on the mission work of this church. And preacher, can I say, and every tongue and every tribe, the proclamation of the Lamb of God is going forth this morning, and I'm glad that no one can hold him down. The Lamb of God this morning will do some things. I can hurry, I got 14 minutes, hang with me. Give you four things about what will happen when you behold the Lamb of God. Back in our chapter of book of John, chapter number 1, in verse number 10 through verse number 12, John says this: "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." But I like verse number 12: "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto him that believe on his name." You know what beholding the Lamb of God will do for you this morning? It will magnify your salvation. Oh, yes. I've already said it before. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Man, I don't know what it is, Brother Wayne. It seems like the longer people get in church, and preacher, the longer that we say we serve him, the more we don't worship him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But you get a new Christian saved, man, they're full of fire, vinegar, whatever you want to call it. And I've had people look at them, "Well, that won't last." Man, Brother Ledbetter, what I want to do is get one of them big old blow, whatever, mechanisms for the fire. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I want to get behind them and say, how glad it got on them. Lord, put a spark back in me. Return unto me the joy of my salvation. But can I say, if you're just looking for somebody to give you the hope of your salvation, it's going to fail. But when you get your eyes on the Lamb of God, it'll put a joy down deep in your soul. Man, I like it when I see people out in the world that are Christians, Brother Ledbetter, and they're doing this. Hey, preacher, how you doing? And I'm like, there's just something different. Can I show you what a normal Christian looks like? I'm not saying about your church, y'all, right? Brother Ledbetter, the normal Christian America, this is what we see. Sure is rough today. We sure are facing a lot of hurt today. Can I tell you something, what our Savior did when he died for us? When he came to earth, he lived a sinless life. But that night when he was in the garden, and when I was sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Dwayne, I looked up there and I could see the high priest's house from the Garden of Gethsemane. And I began to think, it was night time when they come to get him. That means when they left the high priest's house, they came with torches. Brother Ledbetter, you've been in the mountains and the woods, and when it's dark and somebody just lights a little bitty light, it shines a long way. Can I tell you what guilty people do when the cops come running for them? That's what I did. They ran. They didn't stand still. That's why I chased them 15 miles in the woods. But can I tell you what our Savior did when he saw them coming? He didn't run. He stood before them. He let Judas betray him. He let them bind him and take him to the high priest's house. And then they began to beat him and scourge him and mock him. And can I say to you, when you behold what the Lamb of God went through to save you, it should put a joy in your heart that he was willing to endure that for me and for you. And can I say this? Paul said he was the worst of the worst, but I believe this. If we were all to take an account of who we were and what we were before we got saved, we could all say we were the worst of the worst. But yet Christ said, I will be the Lamb of God. I will go and I will sacrifice myself for them. They binded him. They put a blindfold on him, began to mock him and hit him and spit on him and say, prophesy who hit you. I don't know about you, but Brother Wayne, one of the worst things anybody could ever do to me was hit me in the face and then begin to spit on me. But can I say, he didn't retaliate. He didn't go against him, but he said, I will endure the affliction, the pain, and the agony of the cross to save you. I don't know about you, but when I began to see the Lamb of God for who he is and what he's done for my life, hey, going to Denmark and sacrificing my life for him ain't too much of a cause. Brother Wayne, all those years for what you and Miss Melissa have been doing, it ain't been that much of a cause. Why? Because when you behold the Lamb of God, there's nothing he can demand of your life that is too much for you to give. It'll magnify his pureness. It'll magnify his persecution, but it'll magnify his propitiation. Brother Ledbetter, I'm glad he propitiated me of my sins. Listen, I'm glad he did me, but then he did my boy. He's propitiated my wife. Hey, I'm glad this evening that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, thank God that it is a propitiation of the Lamb. Number two, it'll motivate your service. John 1:23 said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah, John's sitting in the wilderness crying and saying, make you straight the way. The Lamb of God is coming. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, behold, behold. Ye shall be saved. God, help us to get our service back in our life. Brother Nathan, don't you know how much I've done for him? Brother Nathan, don't you know how much Bible I know? Listen, I used to pastor a lady. She said, I read my Bible 8 hours a day, but yet she wouldn't go pass a track out. Everybody okay? You know what the problem is? We look at what we've given and say we've done enough. But if we behold the Lamb of God this morning, what he's done, we can never do enough. Beholding the Lamb of God will motivate your surrender. Can I say, I'm not going to Denmark because I want to. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody okay? Brother Ledbetter, I was really happy chasing fugitives through the woods and the swamps of Georgia. I was real happy kicking in doors and saying, state police, show me your hands. I was really good and really loved doing what I was doing.
But there came a day, Brother Dwayne, on that day when I was in that Sunday school class and God had been dealing my heart that I needed to surrender my life. But the problem was I got my eyes on what I wanted and not on Him. But that day I beheld the Lamb of God and I said, Lord, whatever You want, if that's where You want me to go, I'll go. If You want me to tell, I'll tell. And can I say to you today, I surrender my life to Him and say, God, my service is Your service and I will do what You want me to do. Brother Jeff, what we need to get back to today is say, Lord, what's Your will for my life? What do You want me to do? God, help me to surrender my life to You. Maintain your surrender. How about this one? Motivate your sympathy. I don't know about y'all, but I've caught myself here. I've caught myself looking at people of the world, lost people, and saying this in my heart, Brother Dwayne, I'm glad I'm not like them. Don't you see how dirty they are? They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. I hope they don't come sit down on my pew. I really hope the preacher don't come to me and ask me to go over there and talk to them. But can I remind you, such were some of you. And can I say such were all of us. If it hadn't been the grace of God, that could be you with a needle in your arm this morning. That could be you still sitting on the drunken bar stool this morning. But for the grace of God, hey, you wasn't always dressed up for church. You wasn't always coming to the house of God. But God had grace and mercy on you. And you beheld the Lamb of God and He saved you. He didn't save you to sit on a pew in pomp and circumstance. But He called us to have some sympathy on the people of the world and take the message of the gospel to them and say that God wants to save you by His marvelous grace. Behold, the Lamb of God will put some sympathy in our hearts toward the world around us. I hurry. Thirdly, it'll measure your sanctification. Matthew 3:4, in the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. I ain't saying sanctification, go get you some camel's hair and a leather loin, amen. But I'm going to say this, sanctification just simply means this, the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose, consecration. I heard Brother Massengale say this, I hope it's all right, preacher. You know what we don't need today? What the world, Brother Dwayne, doesn't need this, do's and don'ts. What I mean by that is, you will do this and you will do that. And I believe in all the, I believe in consecration, sanctification, separation from the world. Is everybody okay? But what I found is a lot of people, Brother Led, better do it because the preacher say so. Here's what Brother Massengale said. He said, if we as the children of God would quit trying to live off of a list and just try to live holy, sanctification will begin and will show its works in our life. What does that mean? That means every morning we wake up and we say, Lord, what would You have me to do? What would You have me to say? What would You have me to wear? Listen, I know that ain't popular preaching in 2024, Brother Ledbetter, but can I say to you, still in the Word of God, Amen. Be ye come out from among them and be ye the same. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the preacher. No, it says, saith the Lord. And can I say to you, it ain't an option. It ain't a conclusion. It ain't one of these things, well, I'll do it today and do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I come to the house of God. No, He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Hey, listen, there was days when I was pastor, and even now, I can go back to North Carolina and listen to me. I ain't dressed like the world. I'm not going to talk like the world. Why? Because God hath worked a good work in my heart. And I can walk through the aisles, Brother Dwayne, and people say this, hey, preacher, how you doing? Hey, I'm glad I ain't got to hang my head down and say, well, they caught me acting like the world. They caught me looking like the world. No, I can say, hey, how you doing? Aren't you glad that God could save you and God did something in you? Hey, God, help us to get back to sanctification in our lives. Behold, the Lamb of God will do a work in your life. I've heard it said like this, and I think Brother Dwayne said the other day, too many times we try to clean them up before God ever catches them. Can I say this today, Brother Ledbetter? I believe in all the things that we believe in. But I believe this, if we get a good view of behold the Lamb of God, it'll start on the inside of the heart. And the list can go out the window. Amen. I knew that might kill it. I hope it didn't. But number four, I'll be done with this. It'll maintain your steadfastness. I told Brother Ledbetter and maybe a couple of y'all, the day that I got ordained, at Wahoo, They set my wife and me down in a chairs about right there. Brother Nathan Nix grilled us some questions. And then I had Brother Dwayne get up and give me the charge on the Bible. And here's the thing. Brother Dwayne scared me to death. And here's what he said. Brother Nathan, we're full of people today that are going a different direction. People that we ordained years ago have now laid down their stance on the King James Bible. And I'm glad he said this. It ain't a perversion. It is the Bible. Amen. And Brother Ledbetter, he grilled me, and I'm glad he did. You say, why? There hasn't been a day, Brother Wayne, can I just be honest with you? There hasn't been a day yet that I've ever once thought about compromising on that Bible. But can I say to you, I'm glad that there was a man that stood up and preached to me and told me, don't you dare quit. Don't you dare turn your back on that. But then here's what he said. If you do, you're going to go to back at every single one of these men that were on this ordination and shake their hand, look them in the eyeball, and tell them you're a compromiser. You know what we've lost today? We've lost some internal reflection of who we really are. Brother Dwayne, we were talking about it. A year and 3 months ago, a man got up in our home church and preached on the wickedness of the recovering fundamentalist.
Amen.
Now, listen, I'm not recovering of anything.
Amen.
If anything, I'm thriving. Amen. But Brother Ledbetter, you know what happened within a year and about 3 months? That man has left what we are and went a different direction.
Right.
What happened? Can I tell you what happened? He lifted himself up in pride. He said this, I deserve this, and I deserve that. You know what happened? He got his eyes off the Lamb of God. And in his heart began to turn against the things of God. Brother Ledbetter, what happened to Lucifer? A man, an angel that was created in heaven, surrounded by the pureness and the perfectionness of God. But where did it all start? He said in his heart, I will lift myself up. I. Can I say this? You know where you're going to fall? It ain't because of your preacher. And Brother Dwayne, it ain't because of the Word of God. And it ain't because of the Lamb of God. Where you're going to become unstable and where you're going to become unfit is when you say, I have arrived. And pretty soon, Paul said, don't be tossed about by every wave of doctrine. And them winds and them waves are going to come in your life. And Brother Ledbetter, they're going to begin to test. I had a man, Brother Dwayne, sit down in my office when I'm pastoring. I'm done. And he said this, Brother Nathan, if you'll turn down your stance on being saved, if you won't preach on that King James as hard as you do, if you'll just tone it down just a little bit, he said, Brother Nathan, I'll write as many zeros on this check as you want. We'll put it in a trust fund, and every year you'll get an endowment. And he said, you'll never have to worry about a thing in your life if you'll just turn it down. You know what happened? I'm glad I have my eyes on the Lamb of God. It had been real easy, Brother Dwayne, to say, well, I'll turn it down just a little. I'll compromise just a little. Hey, can I say this? Where you'll compromise on one spot is a stepping on a banana peel of the downward slope of compromise of all. Can I say this? God, help us today to behold the Lamb of God and who He is and what He's done for you so that we can be the people of God we're supposed to in 2025. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us to behold you in your holiness, behold you in your perfectionist. God, help us to see you for who you are. God, help us in this year that is to come to be a better witness for you. Father, we love you. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.